On another exciting episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, this week in animation, we have Futurama, we have Rurouni Kenshin, and we have Archer. And most importantly, we get to talk to you guys right after these ads we have no control over.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode of Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action animation and cartoon seriously, but not too seriously. We are your hosts. I am Zuhair Ali.
And my name is J. Scotty St. Clair.
And we are covering This Week in Animation. It is May 18th at the time of this recording. How are you doing this week, bud?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Hopefully the listeners can't hear it in my voice, but I did have a little bit of a stuffy nose and whatnot, but I'm coming out on the other side of it. So excited to be back and excited to talk about all this stuff. How about you? How are you doing?
Not too bad. The weather's been absolutely lovely this week. So that's definitely been like, you know, emotionally helpful.
Right.
And I get my first weekend home for the only time this month.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. Enjoy that. Yeah. Weekends. Well, dude, go ahead. I was just going to say weekends where you don't have like anything you necessarily have to do are to be treasured because they come way too far and few and far in between.
Yeah. You want to know some awesome news?
Ooh, tell me this awesome news.
We got some awesome news that I get to be at Awesome Con. So from June 6th, the con itself is June 16th to June 18th in DC. We are going to be on a panel from 6 to 7:30. And when I mean we, you know, at the end of the episode, we're always talking about shows that I frequently guest on. 323 with Reed Murphy was generous enough to invite me for this panel, which is going to be a hilarious game of unfamily, geeky family feud. Hopefully by June 16th, I can say all of that. But for now, we're reading it off Instagram. So if you happen to be in the DC area and want to meet me, maybe I'll sign autographs for the first time. But definitely come check us out. Say hey. We'll be doing a collaboration, Animation Deliberation, X323 with Reed Murphy to, you know, probably get some video content that weekend. So super excited.
Hey, you got a month till that event, and we typically average about 2 podcasts a week. So that's plenty of time for you to practice.
Yeah.
I expect big things from you. And you know what? That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
No, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, it should be fun.
All right. So moving on to the weekly news this week in animation, we got some good news, everyone. We have been talking about the Hulu Futurama revival for quite some time on this show, and we finally have a premiere date. And I just have to let out a sigh of relief because this means that the writer's strike is not impacting the show. I kind of talked last week that I didn't expect that it would because the show is so far along in development. But yes, we know that July 24th is when this 10-episode, officially 8th, but if you've been with the show, you know that it's kind of the 11th. It just kind of depends on how you break these episodes up. 11th or 8th season, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it's debuting on July 24th, and new episodes are going to drop on Hulu weekly on Mondays. And yeah, I am incredibly excited for this one. And part of what amped up my excitement even more is the fact that we got a 17-second trailer, a little teaser that came along with this announcement. And it was just a smattering of all of these beloved side characters. There was Zap Brannigan, Robo Santa, Mom, Calculon, and that's literally just naming a few. It was just a speed by of all of these characters. Like if you've been watching the show for any number of seasons, you've come to love. So I am super pumped for this one. Who else but Zoidberg?
Much excitement. That's a lot of great comedy. I've never watched it in order, but it is just one of those Adult Swim things that, you know, pops up and is just always a good time. So definitely excited to get more of that on Hulu.
Yeah, if Adult Swim selected you for syndication, you know you're doing something right.
In regards to another show that has characters returning after a long time, Rurouni Kenshin's date has finally been confirmed for July 6th. They dropped the trailer. I didn't understand a word of it. There was no subtitles, but the animation quality looks incredible. It's being held by Light & Films. And they're actually... So they're known for Tokyo Revengers and Call of the Night, which I haven't seen either of those, but based off of the animation of this, I'm intrigued. Sure. And the interesting about the story is that... So this series came out in 94. Great story. I tried watching it again as a dub, could not stand the dialogue. So I'm hoping that this reimagination of the story and redoing the dialogue, they even got some new voice actors for it just to give everything a fresh spin. I'm cautiously excited. Everything's looking good so far. I just hope that they do justice to the character and the story, and we have the dialogue and the action to back up what we love from this old series.
Right on, yeah. Hearing that it's from the same animation studio that did Tokyo Revengers, my ears perked up a little bit because I did watch the majority of that first season, and it's constantly been on my periphery to go back and finish that one because it was just sheer watching so many things is the only reason I fell off of that one. I was really enjoying it. But yeah, I can't say really anything more than what you said. It's obviously a celebrated series. I do kind of feel guilty about never having gone back and watched that one, but I've been exposed to episodes here and there. So
yeah,
like you, I just kind of hope this breathes new life into this celebrated series and can hopefully bring the story and make it a little more accessible to a whole new generation of fans.
Much excitement. You like Kenshin Himura are just a Batosai traveling between shows.
I did not understand that reference, but I'll take it.
He's like the wanderer, like a Ronin. He's like the samurai without a home type of thing. So,
I like it. All right. And rounding out the news for this week, we got news that Archer's upcoming 14th season will be its final season. And, you know, it's bittersweet. The FXX animated comedy has been around since 2009. It originally debuted on FX. And to this date, it's had 134 episodes. The last season that aired was the 13th season, was the first that aired without Jessica Walters, who passed away a couple of years ago. So I think it's kind of fitting that the show doesn't go on too terribly much longer without her. But I mean, we're talking about revivals already. Who knows? The show could come back in a few years. But yeah, we don't know exactly how many episodes this new season is going to be, but we do know that it's coming out on August 30th. So I'm just a few months away here. And most of the recent episodes, you know, they did the whole different genres or time periods because it was all in Archer's head. Spoilers, sorry. But they've all been 8 episodes. So, you know, it's got a stellar cast. It's the writing and dialogue is super clever and witty. It's super sharp. So yeah, I'm excited to see how they go out with a bang, no pun intended.
Yeah, with the reputation and length of this show, I doubt that FX is going to let it go by with anything less than spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I expect great things from this.
All right. So that's it for our news for the week. As usual, if there's anything that you guys are excited about or want us to give our impressions on, then please email us at animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on any of our socials.
Phrasing.
I know what I said. And speaking of being excited about content, we have an email from Mr. Andre Sparks. Hey guys, just finished Legion of Superheroes on HBO Max. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't bad either. If you got an hour and a half, check it out after you watch the others. The next movie promises to be special, though. Justice League War World. Ooh. It's even supposed to be rated R. That's super serious. Can't wait for a trailer. Keep up the great work, Andre. The last time I watched an animated DC movie, I was quite traumatized with Justice League Dark Apocalypse.
Okay.
Oh my god, did that one get dark. So, yeah, I will take your word for it that this might be a lot.
Yeah, duly noted. Just want to give Andre a note of appreciation. It's like we've got so many things that we're trying to watch. It's like I kind of compared him to our like reporter in the field, but this really feels like he's like boots on the ground. He's down there in the trenches watching the DC animated content for us, letting us know if it's worth our time or not. And the fact that he's just kind of like in the middle, it's like, okay, if, you know, I have some time to kill and I find myself, you know, really wanting for some DC animated content, maybe I'll make my way to this one. But the news about the next movie being rated R, that definitely excites me. So thank you for the heads up, Andre.
Hopefully soon, if we can make this work out time-wise, we can watch Flashpoint Paradox and talk about that on the cast before we do Flash, because I really want to do like a compare-contrast episode between the two of those.
Yeah, I do love that movie and I love that story, so I'd definitely be down to rewatch it. Yeah, it's coming up on a busy time here because we also have to do our rewatch of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of movies. I think like every week I'm going to be at the theater next month.
It's not a bad way to live.
It's much better than being at a wedding every week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
It takes much less travel time.
And it's still expensive, but not nearly as expensive, especially if you have AMC A-List. Not sponsored. Not sponsored.
Yeah. See, I have Stubbs, and I just buy everyone's tickets and have them Venmo me later.
But you get the rewards for it.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Exactly. So they get the benefits of me buying their tickets and knowing that they have it.
Yeah.
They get the benefits of only paying for a medium when they buy like a large popcorn and drink. But sure. I get all of the points and I haven't paid for like my own ticket in so long.
That's awesome. Well done. Well done.
So thank you, Andre, for writing in. Next up, we have words from Jonathan Kim. This does have Demon Slayer spoilers. This is regarding episode 6 that I talked about with myself on Monday. So if you haven't checked it out, check that out. Jonathan, I wish you emailed me the day of so I could have talked to your emails talking to myself. But let me know what you guys thought of just my rambling that day. All right, so from John. Missed the timing for the Season 3 Episode 6 feedback episode, but wanted to provide you some feedback anyway. Not sure if any of below was covered or not in the latest episode. Ah, what a cliffhanger of an episode. I love hate those. This episode was definitely a build-up episode, but it went by quickly. Great to see some history of Genya, and just the comedic timing of Chisa Puny was great. A little bit annoyed that they only showed a glimpse of Muichiro stuck in the water, but I guess it's better than not showing what's going on in his fight. With that said, can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. Also, I attached a photo of the manga where the hands were placed on the back of Tanjiro and it doesn't show the faces of Rengoku or Uzui. So they were pretty good on the adaptation from manga to anime. Thank you for that.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So I actually have a funny blend jet story. I was in Richmond for my sister's college graduation. The whole family was in town. And somebody had made a mango lassi, which is like a thick mango like smoothie.
Okay.
And the way that this person had made it, it was like very thick itself. So my dad was like, yeah, you know, it's heavy. It's kind of hard to sip and whatnot. So I was like, interesting, you should say that. Run to the kitchen, grab my blend jet because I brought it with me, filled it up with a little bit of water to dilute it, and threw the ice in there and made like a whole slushy out of it. Like, there you go, problem solved, and poured it out of this cup.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was a fun time to finally show everybody what I've been talking about at the table.
I love it. Yeah.
Scoots, you weren't here for the Demon Slayer episode this week, so did you want to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like Jonathan, I was a day late and a dollar short, so you had to talk about it by yourself. But
did you get to listen to it?
Well, I was going to say full transparency. I've not had a chance to listen to your reactions, but I will be very interested to do so, and maybe you can give me a little bit of insight. But this episode did the thing that like we all knew was coming. Like we knew that the action like set off like way earlier than we expected. We're like, okay, we're going to get some flashbacks and some backstories. And as Jonathan said, this was like, it really was a buildup episode. That being said, I did find myself, I was like, ooh, okay, the action's kind of coming to a halt here, even though it was very gripping and we're getting Genya's backstory. But Genya's backstory was totally worth seeing. Not only did it provide some context for him, but also his older brother, the Wind Hashira. So I was really taken with that. I thought it was implemented well. I do agree with Jonathan that, I don't know, when he said that it was like, I guess it was nice to see a little bit of Muichiro, I almost kind of like, I think I would go the opposite way. Like I rather would have just not seen anything than that little tease.
Yeah.
Like that just left me wanting more. I was just like, you know, just save this for later because we didn't get really anything from Muichiro or not remembering her name, but the Love Hashira. The fact that like she just got introduced. Well, I mean, she's been in the season, but she made her big like comeback in the last episode. And like the fact that we didn't see her at all this episode did disappoint me slightly, but those are just really gripes. I do think it was a pretty solid episode. Not my favorite episode of the season, but did have some really great action and nice development for Genya and Tanjiro as well. And man, Genya, whatever he's got going on, whatever this like demon situation is, he seems to have, even though as unhinged as he looked at the end of the last episode, he has some ability to control it. And the fact that he could take that like full attack to the front and like have like giant gaping holes in his hip and side and still keep going, I was really impressed. And then the fact that we actually, you know, we finally got some clarity on it, what exactly is going on with this upper ranked demon, and the fact that Hantingu is still somewhere out there and that he's tiny now after having released all of his emotional demons. He's very squirrely and skittish, and I'm looking forward to seeing him get his comeuppance. So that's kind of where I land on the episode. Not my absolute favorite, but definitely a solid entry in the season.
Yeah, I was laughing really hard when he was running away because of the sound design, just tick, 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 when he was running away. That gave me a good laugh.
Yeah, it was good.
I like that how we flip-flopped, because last week I thought the pacing was off because they were going back and forth with the people too much.
Sure.
And this time it was like focused in, which made me really happy. So I was in the same boat where it's like, just don't show me Muichiro. And I was fine with not seeing the Love Hashira because of how consistent this episode was.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting, like, how our tastes lie in this, because we, like, flip back and forth on that. Like, you got what you wanted last week, but I got what I wanted this week.
Hey. That's a well-balanced season. That's what can we say.
You want to hear my speculation for Genya?
Sure.
So I talked about it in the little reaction thing about how they mention how his brother told him not to be a Hashira because he doesn't have the breathing techniques.
Yes, I recall.
Which makes him reliant on tools, right? That's why he has the gun. That's why he has, you know, his sword is more like a dagger.
Right.
What if he actually came up with a concoction that temporarily makes him a demon with control? Because there was something along the lines of like a time limit.
Yes, I do recall a line of dialogue. He's like, I'm not going to have enough time to regenerate or something.
So
like,
I'm wondering if he has, if he just has assets. If he's like the technology guy and like the resourceful guy, and he actually has like some type of concoction that temporarily makes him a demon.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I like that speculation, and I do think he's resourceful in terms of like, if there is a concoction, like I don't see him as the one that like created it, but maybe maybe he found someone that was willing to be like a benefactor for him. But yeah, no, I think that's a great call, and as much development as we got for him, I'm very curious to learn more about what his exact situation is. And his relationship with his brother clearly needs some rehab, but his relationship with Tanjiro has markedly improved because, like, the title of the episode, like, you're going to be a Hashira, aren't you? And the fact that he's willing to – he acknowledges the fact, like, I'm not going to be able to be the one to behead this demon. Like, you do it, and I'll serve where I can. I was like, yeah, I appreciate when hot-headed, stubborn characters finally see the light.
Yeah, we saw it with Inosuke and Mugen Train, where he was like, yeah, I'm the leader over here. It's like, definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Yeah, we're excited for another episode this weekend, and let's hope that we have the gang all together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But moving on, we're going to switch to our in-a-minute segment, where we have 1 minute to talk about content that we're watching, because clearly it's too much and we just want to make sure that we're able to get little time in for all the stuff that we're going about. So Scoots, what you got for us?
Right, so I will go ahead and start my timer. So yeah, these last few weeks I've been talking a lot about Genndy Tartakovsky's Unicorn Warriors Eternal. I'd been addressing it in the news as it was upcoming and made its debut, but now that it's like full on in the season, I'll reserve it for my anime minutes. But yeah, we got the third episode, and my big takeaway is that we're actually finally getting some inclination to where this season's going. And the first two episodes were really just like an introduction to the world, but now I find myself like, okay, I kind of see where these characters are at. I understand their motivations a little bit more. But beyond that, it's just another thing that really stands out to me about the show is how Genndy Tartakovsky is able to balance this tone between like extremely goofy, like callbacks to like his Dexter's Lab days, and then like this intense action and mystery and intrigue. Because my buddy actually walked in while I was watching it, and I just like could not justify the scene he walked in on. He's like, what is this? And I was like, just give it 5 seconds. It's going to change to something incredibly badass. But I love it for that kind of dichotomy and tone. That's just what makes it. And that's my minute.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
No, that alone makes me like want to watch it even more now.
Yeah. Since you've watched like Samurai Jack, or at least a few episodes, like Samurai Jack did that every now and then, but for the most part was pretty stoic. But just think about some of those like goofier moments from Samurai Jack, and you'll kind of understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what was like hopping in my head as you were explaining that. Like I could see what you were going for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. I definitely want to watch that. Whole binge coming up this weekend. I'm going to try to give that that Justice League Ruby crossover a try.
Oh, right.
Maybe tomorrow night if I can get my cleaning done in time. Because, oh my god, this place is a wreck.
That's what happens when you travel.
Yeah. You watching anything outside of the animated realm?
Barry Season 4. I've been watching that, and that I've been covering that on PandaVision, so I'll do kind of like a mini plug there for that. But beyond that, I actually got a PS5 recently, so I've been doing a lot more gaming than watching. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've historically been an Xbox gamer, but I finally broke down and was like, okay, there's been so many exclusives for PlayStation. I'm going to get the PlayStation 5. So I did, and I only have one game for it right now, and that's Horizon Spider-Man. Zero Dawn. Oh. No. I got Horizon Zero Dawn, the complete edition. So I've been working my way through that. But yeah, Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales are definitely pretty soon to be played.
Depending on when you do that and how our schedules are looking, like, I would happily do an episode on just what you think of the story.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because the story on more the first one than Miles Morales is just incredible.
Nice. Yeah.
Because
it's, I remember, like, thankfully I have not had the story spoiled for me. I know a little bit about some of the characters that are featured, but I remember, like, a big thing that was in headlines was that they had one model for the character, like, when it came out on PS4, and I guess when it came out on PS5, or like they did like an update or something like that, they changed the character model to look a little bit more like Tom Holland or something like that, and some people loved it and some people hated it. So
interesting.
I'm curious to see, because I know the second one is like in development and on the way. I'm curious to see if they're going to go back to the original character model or embrace the new one. So
interesting.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I'd heard that, but one of the skins that you could get in that one was actually the Iron Spider, because it came out after Infinity War.
Nice.
So that was, depending on which suit you use, there's like a different like perk to it. So you actually get to use the arms, and he's like,
oh, that's badass.
Stuff. There was a couple of things from the movies that they threw in there, and it was really well done. It was a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of them throwing things from the movies in there, I know that this, the Spider-Man suit from this game with like the white giant spider going across the back, like we've seen that suit show up in the trailers for Across the Spider-Verse, so that's he'll be one of the 240 unique characters that we'll be having fun with come June.
I'm just hoping that they do it in a way that I don't have to address points in the fantasy game.
totally fair. What about you? Have you been watching or playing or
definitely been playing Destiny again. Okay. So that's been fun, because that's one of the games like I get to play with my buddy, and I really like community-based games like that, where I just have like somebody consistent. Like, when I don't have someone to play with, I fall off of it.
Sure.
So I have been playing that. I've been trying to keep up with Ted Lasso and The Big Prize on Apple TV. By the way, Tetris on Apple TV was incredible.
Oh, yeah, I need to catch that. I thought it looked
really
good.
You would love it.
I love Taron Egerton, or Egerton, yeah. So
one of those.
cool.
Yeah, that movie was phenomenal. So yeah, just those two live action shows. I've been slacking a little bit just because of how much I've been around the place. I've been wanting to catch up on Dave, but that's not a show that you watch on a plane or around people.
I watched the first episode of season 3 and it was hilarious.
Yeah, people have been like, you know, talking ill of this season. I'm just like, why? Like, this is exactly what you expect of this guy. I do agree that season 1 set like an unrealistically high bar, but like that doesn't make anything else like less than good.
Sure.
We've definitely been entertaining. I'm like looking around to see if there's anything else. No, I think that's it in my nerd realm. I actually did learn today for the Avatar The Last Airbender, so I can't stop talking about those two Kyoshi books, but yeah. I learned today that there was another set of books that came out. Like, one came out about Avatar, what was her name? It was The Last Airbender. Yang Chen. So there was one of her that came out last year, and there's a sequel to that coming out in July. So I'm just like, geez.
That could have been news, man. What are you doing? Barry and Lee.
I literally just thought of it. I'll bring it up as a news thing, like on the top of it next week, but
that's all
or
good.
Maybe just closer to July when it actually drops.
Sounds good.
What brought my attention to it is that for Sarah Day's new show, Peeves Gap Fest, where they're rereading every chapter of Harry Potter, I actually started reading, and I got an ebook for the first time, and it's actually getting me to focus on the content a little bit more.
Interesting.
Because I either have it on my iPad when I'm just like laying around before bed, or I have it on my phone throughout the day. So okay. when I have like say I'm like early for a shoot and I have like 20 minutes to kill, instead of like scrolling through social media, I've actually been like reading the book.
Interesting.
So having, because I'm such a technology oriented guy, I think just having the book in that medium is making me pay attention to it more.
Yeah, sure. I get that.
And if I can consume more content instead of consuming reels, then why not?
There you go. Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I will read things on the internet on my screens and whatnot, but when it comes to like a book, I love podcasts, but I'm not a big like audiobook person. There's something about having like the physical pages in my hand. So yeah, I that's my like old toxic old man trait. Like, I like, if I'm going to read a book, I have to have like the physical copy.
I enjoy that feeling, but it's not a sustainable desire, if that makes sense. Because if I have the urge to want to read at some point and I don't have that physical book with me, then my brain switches to something else. And then when I do have access to the book, I'm in that mindset of something else, right? If that makes sense.
Sure. No, it makes sense.
But
yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, I want to read a little more of the book. I want to know what's going to happen at this chapter. It's on my phone. Oh, I'm at home. Let me pull up my iPad. I was talking to Sarah today about something on the phone. I was like, and I'm like sitting doing my editing. I was like, oh, let me pull up the book real quick, because I buy it on like Apple Books. So I'm just looking at my computer, like where I had my highlights and notes. And I'm like asking her questions off of that. Just like, okay, if this is what it takes for me to start reading again, I think it's working.
Hey, whatever works. But yeah. Speaking of reading, in addition to Peeves Gabfest, we have another couple of friends of the show that do a podcast called Source Pages, the Reading Collective. And one of the hosts there is Haley Hobbs. Haley and I will be appearing on the Stranded Panda show, Bingers Assembled, as we prepare for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. So we recorded the episode for the first one earlier this week, and I think Matthew Carroll's waiting till like June to start releasing those episodes. But yeah, while I'm in the plug, I'm just going to get into the plugs. I already mentioned PandaVision. I'm doing a lot of podcasting right now, and also Multiverse News every week. So
that's why your nose is telling you to take a break.
Maybe, yeah. And on top of all of that, I appeared on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So this was one of my favorite episodes I've done. I got to do one of the Why I Love the MCUs. They've done two in the past, one with friend of the show, John Irons, one with Ashley Coffin of the MCU cast, as well as Bill and Ashley's Terror Theater. And it was just super fun to have like a more laid back, unstructured conversation, just gushing about all things MCU. So I encourage you to check that out.
I think the trailer for Mission Impossible came out the day that you guys recorded the first episode.
It did. It did indeed.
Yeah, because I remember Haley telling me about that, and of course Instagram was listening, so it's like, trailer drops tomorrow. I'm just like, perfect timing.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, a lot of content.
Cool. Well, once again, looking forward to everything you're going to do at AwesomeCon. And to all our listeners, we love you. If you love us, show us. Prove your love for us. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a rating. Share us with your friends. And hit us up on all the social medias. So, thanks for tuning in. That's TOONIN.
And as always, stay whelmed. How deep is your love? Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.